What a privilege it is to be with you, and I'm sure this is, I can already tell, this is an exceptional church. I know that from where you got your pastor. Any church that would get an Alabama boy for the pastor has got to be an exceptional church. But I look forward to being with you these few nights together. And I love Missions Conference. Not only because I enjoy it, and because I think it's the priority of God, but it also interrupts our vain life. So much that we do and so how we live our lives, so much has nothing to do with eternity. And Missions Conference has a way of reminding us about eternal things and shows us what's important. And if we don't connect our lives for eternity, there's no reason for your job. There's no reason for your hobbies. There's no reason for your house. There's no reason for the cars, the life that we all live. If we don't connect it with the will of God some way, it's all vanity. And so Missions Conference is wonderful. It lets me know that I can be involved in something that's more important than just working a job and going through life and going through the motions of youth and then middle age and then death. I can be involved in something more important that God wants me to be involved in. The Woods are some of God's joy servants, and we appreciate them so very much. And as he was presenting his work again, I've seen it many times, you know, it reminded me how Muslims are so committed to do the will of their God. They are much more, many times over, more committed to do the will of their God than we are to do the will of their God. That's just true. That's not. And that's sad because we've got the real God. We've got the true and living God. We've got the God of heaven and earth. We have the God that saved us. We have a personal God. And so how much more should we consider? I don't know how you think when you watch presentations, but if you didn't just get stirred in your heart about your own prayer life, about your own commitment, God help us not to just come to church, but let God speak to us. Thank you for being here. Would you stand with me and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, please? I don't intend, I have preached, you know, all week in one place. I don't know that'll be the case with our time together, but I couldn't get away, and I've never preached this out of this chapter. I've preached so many messages out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, because these are the chapters that really discuss, I believe, missions giving and faith promise missions giving. And if you know the story, as we begin in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia." And we know from the book of Acts that the chief city of Macedonia was Philippi. And Paul went there and he preached the gospel there, and Lydia was saved and her household and baptized, and then some people in jail got saved, and jailer, and they were baptized, and then other people got saved in Philippi, and God started a church there. But those people were very poor. That's the next verse. The Bible says in verse number 2 how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Philippi was the only church, according to the book of Philippians, that communicated with Paul as concerning giving and receiving. They were the only congregation. Paul had one supporting church when he went to Thessalonica, and that was the church at Philippi, and that was a place that was in deep poverty, according to verse number 2 of our text. That's a that's a whole message in itself. That's not what I'm preaching on. I just want to lay the groundwork of this chapter being a chapter showing us of the people that really got involved with the missionary and really got involved with the gospel's sake and were really involved with the work of God to get the gospel around the world. They were poor people. They were people that had received the grace of God and were so enamored with it that they had to be involved to get it to someone else. I'd say there that I don't know of another book in the New Testament that will help you or bring you more joy in your life than the book of Philippians. Those are these people. Look what it says about them. Verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, please speak to our hearts and not just do them. Help us to be doers of the word. And give us your heart, Lord, and grant us some obedience, God, in our lives. And forgive us, O God, of not being more committed to your will than Muslims are to the will of the false God. And help us tonight, Lord, to re-up our commitment to do whatever you ask us to do. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you to be seated. I'm looking at that phrase, they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I want to preach tonight on missions is the will of God. It was not just the will of God for the poor churches of Macedonia to be involved in communicating and giving the gifts and getting the gospel around the world. It was not just the will of God for them, but it's the will of God for us today. That will of God is spelled out all through the New Testament when God tells us to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We're to go teach all nations, every one of them. The Bible tells us that we're to be witnesses. We are to be the light of this world, and that is the will of God. And if we are not involved in missions, then we are not doing the will of God. And the will of God for these, they gave themselves to the Lord, but it did not stop there. They gave themselves to the missionary. We can't deceive ourselves into thinking that we've done the will of God just because in our personal life or our personal heart, we think everything's all right between me and God and we've got a good relationship. Because God also requires me to have a right relationship with my fellow man. In other words, I can't be right here if I'm not right there. And they did the will of God by giving themselves to the Lord, but then they gave themselves to Paul. They gave themselves to the missionary. And both of those things were the will of God. It was not enough that they would just give themselves to the Lord, but they had to give themselves. He wanted them to give themselves to the missionary, to give themselves to his plan of the gospel for other people. That was also the will of God for their lives. So here's what I say. A church that is not involved in missions is not in the will of God. And a Christian that is not involved in giving themselves not only to the Lord, but to the missionary, is also not in the will of God. I'm taking that from the text. They gave themselves first to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And the whole purpose of this chapter is to say to the rich Corinthian church, if a bunch of poor, amen, Christians, if some single mothers, amen, down in Philippi, if some jailbirds down in Philippi, if some people that don't have what you have down in Philippi, if they can be that committed to get the gospel to Thessalonica and other places, then why can't you get involved in the will of God as well? God's got a will for every one of our lives. And I want you to think about that tonight. What is the will of God for your life? It's more than you working at the bank. It's more than you going to school and getting an education. What is God's will for your life? What does He want from you? I think some Christians live their life like God didn't want anything from them. God has a will for your life. And may I say this? God's will is so much better than your will. It's so much better than my will. When I do what I want to do, my life is a wreck. But if I'll do what God wants me to do, what joy, what blessing. And we see that in this church. The Bible said these churches of Macedonia that gave themselves according to the will of God, He said in verse number 2, the abundance of their joy. They're excited about it. They're happy about it. They have more joy than they can contain. Do you know when you're in the will of God, there is just something special and wonderful about living in God's will. And there is something so miserable about not doing what God wants us to do. I want to ask you, are you in the will of God? You know, our example of this, look down in verse number 7 of this chapter. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything and faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Watch verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Here's my question. Are you willing to do the will of God in whatever it is? And my first thing I want you to think about is that Jesus Christ was willing to do the will of the Father. He was willing. Matter of fact, look how many times that word's used. In verse number 3, it says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were what? Willing of themselves. Drop down to verse number 12. For if there first be a what? A willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. He says in verse number 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to what? A readiness to will. So there may be a performance also out of that which you have. He's talking about their willingness. What are they willing to do? Do they have a willing mind? And the great example of that is not just the churches of Macedonia and their willingness to do the will of God, but the willingness of Jesus Christ to do the will of His Father. And that willingness was that He was willing to become poor even though He was rich. I've not met very many people that have volunteered to be poor. I met some poor people that volunteered to give up their poverty. But I'm not much. What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be poor. There is nobody in their right mind that wants to be poor. That's not what they want. But Jesus Christ willingly made a decision. He was the richest in the universe, and He became the poorest. And nobody made Him do that. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. And this is the great conflict of life, and this is what I've spent all my 30-plus years in the ministry doing. I've tried to preach to people, and I've tried to get people to do what they don't want to do. Teenagers that don't want to live for God, and I'm begging them to live for God. And children that don't want to obey their parents and develop good character and do their homework, amen, and I'm begging them to do that. And I'm preaching to moms and dads and church members, begging them, amen, to live right and to do right and be faithful to church and do right by their husband or wife. Or
in their personal life. I'm begging them to do that. Begging them to win people to Christ. Begging to be a witness. Begging them to get... You know what the bottom line is? A lot of people just don't want to. And I dare right now up front. The very first step, if you don't have a willing mind, if you can't come this week and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know what? I'm wasting my time. And this meeting is a waste of time for you. And the souls that are waiting to hear the gospel are not going to get any help from you. And the things that God wants to do in your heart, as powerful as Almighty God is, He will not be able to do anything in your heart or in your life if you don't have a willing mind. Because God's not a Calvinist. He didn't force anybody to do anything. You have to be willing. Isn't that true about getting saved? God didn't make me get saved. And by the way, you go, it doesn't matter if it's the Middle East, it doesn't matter where it is, it doesn't matter, Mozambique, we can't force people to get saved. We can't make it. And I'm not even trying to manipulate people to get saved. I want them to want to get saved. Until somebody wants to get saved, until they want their sin gone, until they want Jesus Christ, nothing's going to happen. It doesn't matter how slick or how smooth my presentation is. There's got to be a willingness in the heart of man that he wants Christ. God is not willing that any should perish. God does not want any of those Muslims to go to hell. He doesn't want one of them to go to hell. He doesn't want your worst enemy to go. He doesn't matter. He didn't care what country, what nationality, what color their skin is, what their religion is. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then why don't they get saved? It's the will of God for everybody to get saved. So why don't everybody get saved? Because they don't want it. They're not willing. God didn't make people go to heaven that don't want to go to heaven. Because if he could, when they got there, they'd want to leave. They'd look around and say, where's the bar? They'd look around and say, where's the vape shop? They'd look around and say, where's the movies? They look around and say, where's the horse race? Where's the stadium? There's none up there. Where's the internet cafe? Where are my cell phones? Where are my video games? Guys, you know that's not in heaven, right? So why do you want to go there? The average person would not want to go there until they look at the futility and the emptiness of all those things I just mentioned, and the void of their heart, and the sin of their life. And so, you know, my life's a mess, and none of this is making me happy, and all I am is a sinner, and all I am is filthy, and I've finally heard about one that is pure and holy and righteous, and he wants to give me a gift, and he wants to change my life, and he wants to come into this house. I think I'll make a move. Do you remember the day you got saved and you didn't want what you wanted anymore? God doesn't save people, even though it's His will, unless they have a willing mind. And God's not going to make us do His will. God's not going to make you get involved in missions. He's not going to make you get involved in an obedient life to the Lord. You've got to be willing to do it. And our example is the Lord Jesus Christ, the third letter of Hebrews. I'm losing my mind, but it's not gone yet. I've got it open right here. Hebrews chapter 10, watch this. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, that's Jesus, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, this is Jesus speaking, amen. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, watch it, to do thy will, O God. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. By, watch it, by the which will We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Do you know why I'm saved, why I'm sanctified, why I'm forgiven, why my name's written in heaven, why I know I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven one day? Because Jesus Christ was willing. By His will, I got in. He said, I'll go. Listen, the Father didn't make him go. He didn't even get drafted. He didn't get pressured. He saw the need. He knew the plan. And the Lord Jesus said, the Son of God looked at the Father and said, I'll go. I'll do it. I'm willing. You got a body for me? I'll do it. I'll step down. I'll become poor that they can be rich. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to give up heaven so they won't have to go to hell. I'll do that. I'll step down from the glories of the Godhead and come down in the form of a sinful man and humble myself. And I'll even drink all their wickedness. And I'll even let God, I'll let you put all their wickedness on me and put it in my body. I'm willing. You know what I say when I think about that long enough? Oh, God, whatever you want me to do, I think I can do it. Wherever you lead me, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. If you can be that willing, do I think it's a sacrifice to do whatever you want me to do? To give a little bit more money to mission? Or to give half my money to mission? Or to give myself to mission? What is that compared to his example that he just showed? And if it wasn't for that, you'd go to hell. And if we're not willing to do His will, somebody else is going to do it. We do believe that the eternity of one man depends upon the voice of another. That's the gospel. So what are you willing to do? Jesus Christ was willing to do the will of His Father. You know, the Bible tells us about these churches in Macedonia, if you turn back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Bible says in verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. They were willing to do stuff they couldn't even do. They were willing to give what they didn't even have to give. The Bible tells us right there in verse number 12, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to him that he hath not. If you just have a willing mind, let me ask you a question. What would you do for God if you could do it? Somebody pressed their button, amen, and stopped at it. Thank you. You know, somebody said, if I had $1 million, this is what I'd do. No, you wouldn't. You'd do the same thing you're doing, what you got right now. If I had an ability and a talent and I could preach and I could sing, God would give me intelligence that I could teach people. Oh, if I just had a silver tongue, I'd talk to more people about Jesus. No, no, you wouldn't. You've got to be willing first. You've got to be willing first. First, be a willing mind. Do you have a willing mind? Would you approach this Faith Promise Missions Conference and do this? I'm going to tell you, do what your pastor wants you to do, or do what I want you to do, or even do what you want to do. Would you just go to God and get on your knees and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know, I'm so intrigued about people with the will of God. I've had people all my ministry come to me, preacher, I got to make a big decision. Help me to make a big decision about the will of God. What is the will of God, preacher? You know what I always like to do? I like to turn to the Scripture and show them right what the will of God is. Right, here's one text. Well, okay, let's start with the will of God. Are you giving to missions? Have you given yourself to the Lord? No, come on, preach. I'm talking about where I go to school or who I marry or what my job is or if I should buy this house. Oh, you're talking. You want to know what God wants you to do and stuff that you want to do. Look at 1 Thessalonians. You know what God's interested in? He's interested in these flags. Well, preacher, what do we need to do? Well, you need to do the will of God this week. Well, what's the will of God? Well, I'll tell you what, you'll probably not accomplish it if you can't just get the simple phrases about the will of God. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God. Well, that makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? For this is the will of God, even your what? Sanctification, that you should abstain from what? You know what I've noticed? Dirty Christians don't get involved in the things of God. Carnal Christians are not interested. They're not interested in what God's doing around the world. They're not interested in rescuing the perishing and care for the dying, because they're too involved in the wickedness and the filthiness of their life. Whether it's things they're doing in their minds or things that are doing there with their hands or with their eyes. God says, look, I want you to do the will of God. Why don't you just start letting me sanctify you and make you clean and pure? Because what I'm trying to tell you is the Macedonian churches, the first thing they did was gave themselves to God. Lord, here am I. Make me clean. Make me what you want me to be. Before I can do something, I've got to be what you want me to be before I can do what you want me to do. Sanctify me. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse number 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not rocket science. God says, you want to do the will of God? Well, be thankful. You know, I started by saying, if you're not involved in missions, you're out of the will of God. Well, you're also out of the will of God if your life's not clean. But you're also out of the will of God if you don't have a thankful heart. You know what else I've noticed? I've noticed the people that are so involved with getting the gospel around the world are thankful people, are happy people. And old grumpy drawers just ain't interested. Gasoline's $3 a gallon. I don't know why they want us to give a mission offering. You know what unleaded costs? And you got a car, and 80% of the world ain't got a car. Honey, do we have to eat? Can't you, you know, spruce up the menu? Well, you only give me $50 a week. Can't buy steak for that every day. I guarantee you, everybody in here, you probably don't eat the same thing every day. You might eat the same cereal or something like that. I'm talking about the same lunch, same supper every day. Are you thankful for it? How about eating rice 3 times a day? Like a cup. That's what most of the world is. Guys, just endure me for, you know, the Bible talks about enduring sound doctrine. Just endure me. Guys, we have got more than anybody in the world, and we're the most unthankful, unappreciative, complaining, murmuring, griping people on the planet. That needs to change. You need to get up in the morning. What's the will of God for you? Get up in the morning, thank God for your wife, and thank God for your husband. They said, preacher, you don't know what I'm living with. Yeah, I don't know what they're living with either. When you thank God for your parents, thank God for your church. Guys, you know how the devil works. He just gets you you're just not thankful for anything. And so then when he wants you to do his will and mission, you're not going to do that because you can't do the easy thing. Thank you, Lord. The average average Christian comes into church. You know, church, our services and our song services, they ought to be so spirit-filled of people just so happy. They want to come in, amen, and they want to lift a hand and thank God and praise the Lord and be so happy. Lord, you've been so good to me. I know I'm a wicked, hell-deserving sinner, but thank you, Lord. That's not the way most people go in church. They look for something they can complain about. Have you spent every day getting up saying, Lord, you're so good to me. Thank you for the life. Thank you, Lord, that I wasn't born in a Muslim culture. Thank you, Lord, that I was born in a place where I could go to church. Thank you, Lord, that I had that you gave me a Bible that a lot of the world don't have. Thank you, Lord. Those are the people to give. And I'm telling you, I think the churches of Macedonia, they were so thankful. It was easy to do the next thing. There's no way to get Christians to do the will of God in the next step of their life if they can't do that. You know why you ought to get involved this week and do whatever God wants you to do? Just out of the thankfulness and gratitude of your heart. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, he's well nigh hopeless. Why don't we just get back? You talk about an altar call. Just to get down to the altar and say, Lord, thank you that you don't have to get a missionary to me. Thank you that I can get a missionary to somebody else. And I've got a willing mind. I don't know what I can do, but I want to spend the rest of my time. This is a great phrase in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to spend the rest of my time, however many days you give me, Lord, I'm going to spend the rest of my time not to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. I want to spend the rest of my time just doing what you want me to do. Giving what you want me to give and going where you want me to go. Maybe the first thing he wants you to do is give yourself. There's never been a time we have less people surrendering to the mission field. People just not interested. They don't want to go. And I don't want to call you to go. I don't want your mom to call you, your pastor to call you. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's something wrong in your heart if you're not willing. I went to the mission field from the pastor just like Billy Wood. I was 11 years pastor in Virginia. And every time we'd have a mission conference, or every time I'd go to the mission field, I'd say, Lord, I'll go. Here I am, I'll go. When I became the pastor in Alabama, they said, well, what's your plan? I said, I don't have any plan. But I know God wants me to come here. Well, okay. Are you going to be a missionary again? I don't know, but if he says to, I am. Is that not the way we're supposed to live our lives? I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm just saying, why should I tell God, God, I'm not going to do this. Now, God, I'll do whatever you want to as long as you'll put it in this box that I approve of. That's not when we have revival. That's not when we have the good Spirit of God. That's not when we have joy. That's when we have the miserable lives that we have. We ought to come to God and say, Lord, here I am. Here's my life. And the young people aren't going to give themselves to God if you don't give yourself to God. We all are supposed to give ourselves to God. None of us are above it. Jesus wasn't above it. Here's my life, Lord, wherever you want. Here's my heart. I'll put somebody else's needs before my own. I'm willing to have compassion on others. Instead of just thinking about my own life. You said the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
but I'm about sick of it. Because what I've noticed about people is this. They draw a line and say, I'm not going to do anything past this right here. You're not going to tell me what to do. God's not going to tell me what to do. This is what I'm going to do. And guys, when we do what we want to do, we make a mess. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that you ought not to be willing to do what God wants you to do as far as giving yourself to the Lord, giving your money to the Lord, giving your thanks to the Lord, giving your witness, your service to the Lord. You ought to not just do that for your benefit. There are people around the world that are counting on you and I. We're going to rob them of the benefit. Aren't you glad Jesus did the will of the Father? What if we were like him? I tell you what, guys, when I get to heaven, I don't think I'm going to want to leave. Any of you think when you get to heaven, I'd say 5 seconds in heaven, there's not going to be any volunteers to leave. Especially to come back down to this hellhole and to this body of flesh, right? No pain, no suffering, the glory of God, the presence of God, the tree of life, the street of gold, the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the rainbow, the throne, Jesus himself. Are you kidding me? Jesus said, I'll leave for them. God's not asking you to leave heaven for somebody to be saved. He's just asking you to leave your comfort. Like your son or your daughter, your parents, your friends. He was willing. Are we willing? Father, as we bow our heads before thee, we want to thank you for the mercy and the grace of God that's been bestowed upon us. Lord, you have been better to us than we have ever deserved. Forgive us, O God, of our unthankfulness. Lord, we pray out of a thankful heart that you would revive us again to do the will of God, and that we would give ourselves to you first, and then to the missionaries, and to those around the world that desperately stand in need of your gospel. Lord, invade our comfort zones and speak to us tonight. And help your people not to hold back on anything, but just have a ready mind, a willing heart. Before they make any decision, before you tell them to do anything, Lord, help them just to come and say, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to give, whatever, however you want me to live, whatever you want me to say, take my life. And Lord, I pray that you would do this in our hearts for the sake of Jesus Christ and the souls around the world. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, would you stand to your feet? People have already come to pray. Is the hymn of invitation being played? Has God spoken to your heart? Amen. Why don't you respond to him and talk to God? Tell the Lord you're willing. Here am I, Lord. I'm willing. I don't know what I can do. I don't know what I can give. But I'm willing. Here I am, Lord. Help me to be willing. I want to do whatever you want me to do, God. Thank you for being willing to do everything that I might have life.